On Wednesday nights, our children have been learning about Moses. We've been learning about how God chose him to deliver his people out of Egypt. We have spent time talking about the plagues recently, which is something children really like talking about. We have imagined the Nile River turning into blood. We have pictured frogs hopping everywhere. We have scratched our arms and made faces as we've thought about the itchy and painful boils on skin. And this week we learned about the most difficult plague of all, the death of the firstborns. We learned about the final straw for Pharaoh. We learned about Passover. One by one, each child took a paintbrush and marked the door frame of the home with red paint representing the blood of the lamb. And as they did this, they thought about how they would have prayed for their families as they painted the blood on the door frame, and they voiced a prayer. And then they went inside and they became very quiet and very serious as we took time to consider, what would that have been like? Can you imagine what the families were thinking as they waited? They knew their lives were about to change drastically. And they were trusting that God would keep his promise to protect them and to save them. God had sent his message to the people through Moses to do this very thing. He had told them to select a lamb for their family and to use the blood to mark the door frame on the top and on the sides with the blood of the lamb. And then they were to roast the meat and share it with their family. And there were very specific instructions of how they were to eat this, with bitter herbs and with bread that did not have yeast. And they were to eat it in haste, with their cloaks tucked in their belts and their sandals on their feet and their staffs in their hand. And they were told that God would see the blood on the doorpost, the blood of the lamb, and he would spare their families. He would spare everyone inside those homes. Can you imagine if you had been there? Can you imagine the different thoughts they were thinking and emotions they were experiencing as they followed these instructions and then tried to get some sleep as they waited? They knew something big was about to happen. God had already given them clear instructions that they would be remembering and celebrating and commemorating this very event, this Passover, with their descendants someday. So they knew something big was happening, but they didn't know just exactly what it was all going to look like. Have you ever prayed about something and you sense God giving you direction and you listened to his voice and you jumped and then you had to wait? Not sure exactly what it was all going to look like. And while you waited and you continued to pray, you found yourself experiencing all of these different emotions. I have. I am currently in another waiting season with my adoption journey, hoping, praying, waiting, dreaming, anticipating, and trying not to get bogged down because I know that this particular match request looks impossible on paper. But also believing with all of my heart, God has led me to request these two little girls and reminding myself over and over, but God is faithful, but God is able to do the impossible, but God. And I imagine that's what was happening with the Israelites that night. as they waited. They had been praying and begging God to deliver them from the slavery they were experiencing for a long time. And then they had felt their hope rise each time Moses went before Pharaoh. And then they were disappointed each time when Pharaoh said no, and then God responded with a plague. So many questions. What if Pharaoh said no again? What if Pharaoh said yes this time? What was it going to look like when God delivered them? Would all of my family be going? How are we going to get there? Is it going to be dangerous? Will we survive? All of these questions had to be swirling in their mind. And then they recalled, but our God is faithful. And he has promised to protect us. And I believe they whispered confidently, but God. In Exodus 12, we read, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them. It is a sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the house of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. And then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And so they waited, anticipating. And at midnight, the firstborns were killed across Egypt. The people and the livestock. There was great wailing and mourning, and the Bible describes it as the worst it had ever been and worse than it ever would be. People were in agony, but the Israelites were spared, just as God had promised. He had passed over the homes that had been marked with the blood of the Lamb. Something big was happening. And there was a great sense of urgency, and I can only imagine how the people were looking around, anticipating they were needing to leave quickly. What would they take with them? When I pack for a mission trip, I try to visualize just about every scenario that could possibly happen. And I try to plan for every need that I might have and every need that a team member might have. And then pack accordingly, often packing way too much. But the Israelites really didn't have that option in this moment. It was going to happen very quickly. It was the middle of the night when Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, enough, just take your people and go. And so the word spread very quickly, and they got up. And they left. They knew they probably wouldn't be coming back, but they didn't know what the journey was going to be like. What do you take with you? They didn't have a U-Haul truck to load up. Most of what they took, they were going to have to carry. What would you have chosen to take with you that night? Maybe food, maybe clothing, maybe something passed down to your family. What would it have been? So God led his people out of Egypt. You may remember, though, that God did not say, here's a shortcut to the promised land, but instead he took them the long way on the desert road that went towards the Red Sea. And do you remember what happened next? They get to the Red Sea, and they are staring at it thinking, this is uncrossable. Now what do we do? Meanwhile, Pharaoh had changed his mind and gathered his armies, and they were coming in pursuit of the Israelites. And so they turn and they look this way, and they see all of these armies coming at them closer and closer. And then they turn this way, and they see the Red Sea in front of them. And they do what probably most of us would have done. They cried out in fear. Sometimes we are tempted to think that when we step out in faith, that the rest of the process is going to be smooth and easy. But rarely is that the case. The next crisis comes and we have to decide how we're going to respond. And often we find ourselves longing for the familiarity and the predictability of what we knew. At least we knew what to expect. And that's what happened to the Israelites. God had just delivered them in a very powerful way from the very situation they had been praying he would save them from. But now it felt like everything was closing in on them. Everything seemed impossible, and they got scared. And they cried out, "Did you just bring us here to let us die? At least where we were, we had our lives. At least where we were, we knew what to expect. It might have been bad, but it was our bad." And they cried this out, and it was not the last time in their journey to the Promised Land they cried out similar things. But we know that God split open the Red Sea, and the Israelites were able to walk across on dry land safely. And as soon as that last Israelite put their feet on the other side, then God closed the waters back again. The waters overcame the armies coming after them. Wow. Recently, I heard a speaker named Beth Guckenberger speak on this part of the story in a way that has really stuck with me. She pointed to a verse in Exodus that reveals something that Miriam had chosen to pack that night. Remember, Miriam was the sister of Moses and Aaron, and she had packed and hung on to something even as she crossed the Red Sea on land. Then Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand. And all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." She packed a tambourine. Can you imagine? Of all the things that she had to decide to take with her, she chose to pack a tambourine. Even in the most terrifying moments of life, they had packed what they needed to worship at a moment's notice. If I had to flee in the middle of the night, I'm not sure a tambourine would be the first thing on my list. But it wasn't only Miriam who packed a tambourine. It just said the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. They knew to be ready to worship at a moment's notice. And so, friends, I ask all of us today, have we packed our tambourines? Are we ready to worship at a moment's notice? Now, I do believe we can worship in both our joy and in our lament. And I must admit, it may be a little trickier to weep with sorrow and play the tambourine at the same time. God is the ultimate storyteller. And I am constantly amazed at how he weaves all of these details together as part of his big story. In the midst of preparing and teaching these familiar stories to the children, I have personally been reminded of our faithfulness of God. As these stories that I've read and heard 100 times came to life all over again, I was struck by how closely what we were just talking about ties in today, to Palm Sunday, to the beginning of Holy Week. You see, it was this Passover that had brought a lot of people to town, because they were following those early instructions of bringing lambs to sacrifice and to participate in the Passover feast and to remember how God had saved his people. It would have been common, if not expected, for the Jewish people from all around to travel to Jerusalem on this day. So there were lots of people. Jesus and his disciples were making their way to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus had recently raised Lazarus from the dead. And as you can imagine, this had caused quite a stir. People, it had gained their attention. And so when they heard that Jesus was in town, they flocked to him. And so there soon was a great crowd around Jesus and his disciples as he and they made their way to Jerusalem. And as they traveled, they no doubt were remembering how God had saved his people. They were remembering that Passover and the stories of Passover and the miraculous splitting of the Red Sea and many miracles after that would have been fresh on their lips and in their minds. They would have been telling each other, remembering, and probably singing about how God had been faithful. I imagine there were a lot of conversations as they walked about Jesus that day as well. I can just imagine one person saying to the other, "Did you hear what he did for Lazarus? That man was dead, and he's right over there." And then somebody else would, with a great big grin on his face, would say, "I am walking to Jerusalem this year for the first time. I'm walking. I was paralyzed and he healed me. I'm walking." And then somebody else, a few people up the line, said, "I was blind, but now I see." And somebody from behind you said, "This Jesus, he knows everything about me." Something big was happening. And there was excitement in the air. And as we read just a little bit ago, Jesus asked a couple of his disciples to go ahead and to find a colt that was tied up and to untie it and bring it to him. And when they were asked what they were doing, they were supposed to respond, "The Lord needs it." And so they did that. They come back with this donkey. They put the cloaks on top of it. And then Jesus gets on to ride into Jerusalem. And even that detail of riding in on a colt was fulfilling prophecy that God had shared hundreds of years ago. It was a big deal. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all talk about this entry into Jerusalem. People spread out their cloaks or their garments on the road before them so that the donkey carrying Jesus could ride over it. And they pulled branches from the trees and they started to wave those, and they cried out in praise, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna!" And the waving of the palm branches and the laying the cloaks before him were an act of showing that he was royalty. It was like rolling out the red carpet, except even more. It was acknowledging that there was indeed something very special about this Jesus. The word Hosanna, which we have heard and sung and said today already many times, is usually associated with this time. A time of worship and a time of praise. And I've been doing some reading this week about the origin and the meaning of this word. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines it as a word used as a cry of acclamation and adoration. It also comes from a Hebrew word, as Pastor Melissa said, that means "save us now." And I believe both of those definitions completely apply to this day. See, they'd been waiting for a Messiah, and now there was this hope. They were starting to believe, perhaps this is the Messiah, and they wanted him to save them. And though they likely didn't fully understand in that moment, these same people had been using their words to tell about how God had saved his people marked by the blood of the Lamb. And now they were worshiping and praising the very Lamb of God who was on his way to the cross just a few days later to shed his blood to save his people. But it was also a cry of praise, not just a pat on the back, hey, great job, Jesus, but it was a cry of praise from the very depths of their hearts. Have you ever noticed that when you see the word Hosanna, it usually has an exclamation mark behind it? It is a word that you emphasize. It is. And if not literally, I think the people had figuratively packed their tambourines that day. And they were ready to praise and worship Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. Well, not everyone was ready. Some of the religious leaders had left their tambourines and their palm branches at home. All of this talk about a Messiah and someone who could save people was making them really nervous and uncomfortable. And they called out to Jesus to rebuke the people. Listen to these words from the passage that Doug read from the Living Bible translation this time. Then the crowd spread out their robes along the road ahead of him, and as they reached the place where the road started down from the Mount of Olives, the whole procession began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all of the wonderful miracles Jesus had done. God has given us a king, they exulted. Long live the king. Let all heaven rejoice. Glory to God in the highest heavens. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Sir, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. And he replied, If they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. The King James Version translates that last sentence in this way, And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And the Message paraphrase says, But he said, if they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise. Friends, if rocks and stones are crying out and shouting praise, how much more should we be ready to worship our Savior? Hosanna! In the moments when we hear his voice and we respond with joy and anticipation, Hosanna! In the moments when we experience so much joy that we feel like we could burst, Hosanna! In those moments when our hearts are breaking and aching and feel broken in two, Hosanna! In those moments when we face our own red seas in life, when it feels like everything is closing in around us and it seems impossible, Hosanna! In the moments when we long for the familiar or the predictable, Hosanna! In the moments when we are just completely undone by the magnitude of the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross for you and for me, Hosanna! As we begin this Holy Week and we reflect on all of the events that unfolded, may we pack our tambourines and our palm branches and join the rocks and the stones crying out, "Hosanna, save us. Jesus, you are worthy of our worship." Amen. Pray with me. God, you truly are worthy. We thank you with all of our hearts for sending us Jesus and for the incredible sacrifice that he paid for each and every one of us on that cross. May we never forget the depth of the love you have shown us. And God, may we be ready at any moment's notice to give you all worship and honor and praise and glory. And in his name we pray. Amen.